For more than a decade, more than 100 migrant and refugee families from countries like Myanmar, Vietnam, Ethiopia, and Guatemala have come to Moorefield, West Virginia. Many work for Pilgrim's Pride, a large poultry plant that is Hardy County's biggest employer with 1,700 workers. For the past 6 months, 100 Days in Appalachia reporter Anna Patrick has been working on two stories exploring Moorefield's growing migrant and refugee population. Her stories include a profile of one Moorefield woman who teaches an English class to some of the new community members. Our reporter in the Eastern Panhandle, Liz McCormick, spoke with Anna about her stories. Here's an excerpt of that interview.
How are these individuals and families who are coming over to the States and coming to Moorefield, how are they learning about Pilgrim's Pride?
I just want to begin answering this question by saying that I repeatedly sent many questions to Pilgrim's corporate communications office, and no one directly answered that question. What I'm about to say is based on what I have gathered. I know for many of the refugees who have immigrated to West Virginia, and in particular Moorefield, they are coming because following 2008, there, and this is according to Catholic Charities West Virginia, who has worked to resettle all of these folks, there was an agency in North Carolina that was resettling refugees. And during around the time following the ICE raid in 2008, that agency closed down. And so there were many refugees that were left without a support system or really a place to go. And right around that time, there was a firm that Pilgrim's Pride hired. They saw this large gap in the refugee resettlement, and so they kind of swooped in to pick up the pieces from where this North Carolina company had dissolved, and that is what got the first wave of refugees to Moorefield, West Virginia. But what's happened since, because West Virginia is only a U.S. tie-based state, that means you cannot resettle to West Virginia unless you are a refugee who has a family member or friend or a close tie already living here. What's happened since then is we've seen family members, we've seen friends, we've seen cousins coming from their home countries to connect and meet.
And so these families are getting reunited and then they're leaving, or are they staying?
We are seeing both. We're seeing families first come to Moorefield, and then within a few years, they've earned enough money and they've moved on to a bigger, more urban place. We're also seeing families move here and stay. And one family that I got to know very well, who originally moved to Moorefield from Myanmar, they have decided to seriously plant roots in Moorefield. They were able to buy their own home. They own two cars. Their oldest daughter is now enrolled in the Eastern Community College. They have two younger children in school, and they feel like they've found a safe place in Moorefield.
In this family you reference, it's Zam and Mon, and you, of course, profile that family in your story. You mentioned that they want to stay. They love Moorefield. They really like it here in West Virginia. But what about the families that you spoke to who don't want to stay? What kind of other families did you speak to who had a different sort of opinion about where they are right now?
I will say that my entryway or introduction into building trust with the migrant and refugee community really began in Amy Fabry's English as a Second Language class, and that is where folks ages of 17 to 60 come together three times a week to learn English. And so there I got to speak with folks from across the globe who are living and working in Moorefield. And that's also, too, where I made these deeper connections with folks like Zam and Mon. I will say, Liz, just speaking with folks, I did not have one person say, I don't really like it here. I'm just here temporarily, and ultimately I want to move away. I think a lot of folks who felt that way have already moved.
Since you bring up Amy Fabree's class, of course, she teaches an ESOL class, or English to Speakers of Other Languages class, in Moorfield. I want to play a 30-second clip so people can hear a little bit from her class.
Do you like living in Moorfield?
It's a safe place.
It's a safe place.
No windy.
No flooding.
That's a safe place. And the company also very near.
Yes.
My house and company 2 minutes
to work.
Yeah, that's
so good.
Near.
She enjoys it because she can be right next to work, so you don't necessarily have to have transportation. Yeah.
So Anna, what did we hear just now in that clip? What's going on?
So this is halfway through Amy Fabree's English class on a chilly February morning. She just posted the question kind of generally to her class. There are about six people in attendance that day, just asking them, what do you like about Moorfield? Do you like to live here? What do you think about it? And so what you're listening to are two of her students, Zam and Mon, who I just talked about earlier. They are a couple from Burma. And so Mon is talking about how she feels safe. She was saying there's no flooding, which is definitely a huge problem that they faced in their home in Myanmar. And for this couple, because it's really important to them and they are really valuing what they're getting out of Amy Fabree's class. So what they've done is they prioritize her English class. And many of the migrants who are working at Pilgrim's Pride do this. They will work all night long in the factory, and then they will get off of work, and maybe they'll go home and they'll change their clothes, but then they will walk to Amy's class instead of going to sleep. And most of the time, these folks are very exhausted, right? Amy always has a pot of coffee going for them so that there's always something they can sort of look forward to, give them a little boost.
So what do you hope that readers take away from your stories? What is sort of that final impact?
What I hope folks take away is that when it comes to poultry or really any major industry like this, I think that we are all a part of this consumer chain, right? And so I think it's just important for folks to take it one step back and just think about what role they play in this consumer chain, like what role they're playing in demanding high quantities of affordable white meat. What's happening in Moorfield isn't just this separate, unique little micro example. It's something that we all play a major part in. Pilgrim's Pride, they supply large companies like KFC, Kroger, and others. And I also think as well that it's important to think about how we treat our neighbors. And I don't know if that has really come across in the story, but it was rare to find folks that are really serving as a bridge. And what an Amy Fabree means in the world, right? Maybe if there are ways we can too show those kinds of qualities in our own home of someone that is a bridge, you know? How can we be a bridge?